Lord. Hallelujah. Please, can we move forward? Those of us at the back, please. I think we all have our bulletin. We all have this paper. So we'll be starting with the Sunday school this morning. So let us pray. In Jesus' name. Almighty Father, we thank you once again for bringing us together, Lord. Father God Almighty, we ask, O Lord, that you accept our thanksgiving, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we go into your word this morning, we ask, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit will teach each and every one of us from above, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask, O Lord, that you be merciful unto us, O Lord, that we don't want to be hearers of your word alone, that we want to be teachers, that we want to be doers of your word, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we don't want to be teachers of your word alone, we want to be doers, O Lord, in Jesus' name, so that at the end, O Lord, none of this word will stand against us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for we have prayed in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. This morning, we'll be looking at communion. If you look at our bulletin, it says, what is communion? It says, communion is a time of thanksgiving. It's a time when Christians partake in bread and wine. It's also known as the Last Supper. And, you know, it's a time for us to reflect on something that Jesus Christ has done for us, why he did it and what he did. It's not just a time to come together just for the fun of it. It's a very important time in the life of every believer, because our coming together is that of a heart-to-heart relationship with God, you know, because of what he did for us and why he did it. So let's look at our Bible verse. Let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians 11:26. We start from 25. If you are there before me, you can read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Praise the Lord. Say we should do this one in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? The Bible is telling us this morning that anytime we come together for Holy Communion or Last Supper, we should try to remember what Christ did for us on the cross, you know, the suffering of Christ. So that one will help us. Each time we come together for Holy Communion, we should be sober, because, you know, we should, a time for us to sit back and reflect. Look at our life. Are we living up to expectation? Look, when we sit down and look back at the cross, we appreciate it the more. The pain he went through, the shame he went through for us, so that he will redeem us from the power of sin. So it's very important. It's a very important time to look back and really reflect, really, on the cross. You know, the suffering, what am I doing? In my own aspect, Christ has redeemed me from the power of sin. You know, I'm saved by grace. But in my own ability, what am I doing? Am I living to expectation according to Christ? Is my life patterned after Christ? So that is what this morning is our Holy Communion service too. So those are the things before the communion that we try to look back at. Is there sin in my life anymore? Because as a child of God, we have power over sin. We cannot say, because I'm a child of God now, you know, you continue to sin. No, that is not it. We have power to overcome sin, because Jesus Christ has done it for us and has given us the power and authority. Let's look at Hebrews 9, chapter 9, 16 and 17. Praise the Lord. You know, the people in the Old Testament, you know, they were saved through sacrifice. You know, when they do something wrong, they always sacrifice. And you know, when God look at those things, you know, during that time, it really served the purpose. But God look at it and just know that it's necessary for us to have something else. That's why he sacrificed his only begotten son for our sin. That's when the New Testament came in, and so that we have the inheritance and we have the new covenant with Christ. So that is why Christ came, because he no longer wants us to live in the Old Testament where it's only one person that can enter into the Holy of Holies. So all of us, we just follow. When we sin, we always go back to give sacrifice all the time. So Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ made atonement for our sin so that we can have his inheritance. We can have the plan, you know, the purpose of our creation, you know, what God has cared for us. And we know again that the coming of Christ again is to bring end to the work of the devil on earth. You know, that is one of his purpose of coming to. So that is why it is very important to know who we are in Christ, to be able to stand right, because we are a chosen generation. So it's very important for us each time, not even on communion day or anytime, we should always sit back to examine ourselves to see where we stand in Christ. And if you look through our bulletin, we have examples of our inheritance. Number one is salvation, you know. That is our inheritance, because we are no longer in sin. It's a very popular one, but I want us to read it. John 3:16. If you are there before me, you can read. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world, his only begotten son. How many sons has he begotten all of us here this morning? For only one person. And you know, if you look back, look at how many Christians, how many believers are in the world today. So that is the love of Christ for us, you know, our salvation. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is dead. He doesn't want us to perish. That is why God has given us his only begotten son to come and deliver us from the power of sin. Healing again, that's 1 Peter 2:24. Healing is our inheritance. I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago I thought about healing here, and I used to say that healing is, God has even given us healing. We have been healed. It's just for us to take what is rightly ours. I use this illustration, and that, like, if you put your money in the bank and you don't go there, you don't go to the ATM, you just kept the money there, you know, it will not benefit you unless you go there and take the money and use. So the same thing with healing. God has healed each and every one of us, so it is up to us to take what is rightly ours. It says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the most important thing, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And God promised this one before his death in Acts 2. 1-4. You know, let's go there because it's very important. Can somebody read for me, please? Luke 11:13. Praise the Lord. No, I said when we give our life to Christ, that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the blessing, you know, that God has given us, which is very important as a believer. You know, this Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that one will make us to understand that we are no longer ours, that we cannot do whatever we will, like, because somebody is controlling us. The world is, the devil in the world is no more controlling us. God himself is the one who dwells in us and is the one who controls whatever we do. He said, the name of Jesus, you know, ask anything in my name, that he will do. That is our inheritance, you know. We should ask anything we want in the name of Jesus, that he will do it. You know, God can never fail, and I've never seen him fail. When he says he will do something, he will do it, you know. Parents, brothers, friends, sisters, they can disappoint us, but I can tell you, God will never and can never disappoint in Jesus' name. Amen. He says he had given us authority over Satan. Yes, he said we cast out demon in his name. You know, that is the authority we have. That is part of our inheritance because we are his. Prosperity, 2 Corinthians 9:8. If you are there before me, please read. Praise the Lord.
all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Praise the Lord. What the Bible is telling us here is that God will meet your need and will increase you so that, and he will enable you to meet the needs of others. So that is a part of our inheritance, you know. When God helps you and when God bless you, you know, he expects us to bless another, to bless the other people back. So that is part of our inheritance in him. It says, victory over fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. We all know this one. We can even say it by heart. Let's say it together. 2 Timothy 1:7. We all know it. It's a very popular one. God has not... Praise the Lord. That is part of our inheritance. You know, there's this preacher who was preaching sometimes ago and said, sometimes when you need to do something and you're afraid, she said, you should stand up and do it afraid. That you may be panicking, but stand up. If you have the leading of God, God has called you, go and do it. You may be afraid, you may be shaking, but nobody will know. But still go and do it. Victory over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Praise the Lord. Say we have victory over temptation. Remember what happened when Jesus Christ, our perfect example, was tempted. What he overcame Satan with what? With the word of God. So that is why it's very important for us as believers to set time aside to study the word, not just reading it like novel. Before we study the word, we should ask the Holy Spirit to help us to interpret those things that are hidden, because it's part of his promise that he will interpret whatever that is unknown to us. We know we all run a very tight schedule. Even prayers is an effort for us believers today. And that is why, you know, the devil knows all this one. He knows that if we study the Bible well, if we pray very well, that we have victory every time. But he knows all these things. So that is why sometimes, you know, he will just bombard us with lots of things, lots of distraction. And before we know it, some of us today now, we are in the church today. After today, when we close our Bible and put it down, we may not open it again until next Sunday. Am I right? How many people has it happened to before? That once you after church, you just kept your Bible on the shelf. You didn't even know where it. Sometimes we even forget our Bible in the church. We will not even remember until Sunday morning when we are about to come to the church and we just look. Oh, where's my Bible? Maybe I left it in the church. That is not proper. As a child of God, we should be reading the word every time. We don't have any excuse. I used to say it. We don't have any excuse. And I was listening to this preacher. You know, he said, all the books in the New Testament, it finished with amen. That is only the book of Acts that did not finish with amen. So he's saying that God is still expecting us to contribute our own, you know, the remaining work that the apostle did, that we should still be doing our own, that there's room for us to still write our own, you know. What are we doing? Praise the Lord. So this morning, friends, as we are just reminding ourselves about our inheritance in Christ, which is very important, and devil know this one more than even us that call ourselves believers. That is why he uses all these devices to put us in trouble. And we know his mission. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it is very important for us, out of our tight schedule, to set time aside to read the Bible and meditate and even pray and fast. Some people will say fasting is not in the New Testament. We need to still pray and fast. You know, there are some battles that we need to pray hard and fast that we win on our knees. Nobody can win those battles for us. It is we, because we have the authority to do it. Because the Bible talks about greater work that we do, even just like Jesus Christ has done, that we do greater things. So what are we doing? It's a challenge to each and every one of us this morning, including me. So we are going to look at taking the Last Supper. You know, we've been talking about it. You know, before we take the Last Supper, just like I've said earlier on, that we should not look at it for just taking it for taking's sake. We should look at the reason why we are taking it. We are taking it because we want to remember, you know, what Christ has done for us and why he did it. Thinking about what he has done, you know, that's why I remember during those days when I used to be a Catholic in high school, when we were about to take the Holy Communion, we used to line up and just come to the front here. And the altar boys, we just stand aside. If you are coming, some people, if you are a boy and your button is half or your chest is open, they just send you back. You'll not be able to partake. That's how important they took it then. And if you are coming and you are just bouncing as if you are coming to referencing God, the boy will just set you aside that, no, you can't partake today. Does it still happen today? You can't just come like that. I'm talking about when I was in high school that we need to take the Holy Communion. You have to come you have to be sober. You know, you can't just be coming forth to come and partake in the Holy Communion and you are not even well-dressed. They will just set you aside. No argument. You just set aside. So that is how important the Holy Communion we should take is. It's not something that we should just take. Oh, I have to take the Holy Communion so that people will know that I'm not a sinner. No. You have to really think about what you are doing, because if we take it in an unholy manner, we are bringing something else to ourselves. We can even bring sickness. Just the way we can take it and be healed, another way we can take it, if we take it in an unworthy manner, we bring sicknesses and diseases to ourselves. So that is why it's very important. Today is our Holy Communion service. We can still make change. We can still, you know, think about where we are, where our standing in God, and we can still make some correction before we take it today. And God is ever ready to forgive and heal us. So let's look at the First Corinthians where we read. I've talked about that. First Corinthians 11, we read 23 to 26.
That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
Praise the Lord. Number one, we should examine ourselves and judge ourselves so that, you know, God will not be the one to judge, because it will be terrible for us, you know. And we have to proclaim the death of Christ, you know. How can we proclaim the death of Christ? By not living in sin anymore, by changing our ways, the way we behave, even in our thinking, you know, in our thoughts. That's the way. No, we can't stay in the same place and, you know, and expect, you know, miracles to happen. No, we have to make changes ourselves. That is what the Bible is telling us this morning. 1 John 1:9. It's telling us that if we confess our sin, just like I've said this morning, that we're having a Holy Communion, that, you know, we just quickly look back at our life where we are not measuring up to standard, that the grace is still there, that God will help us if we confess.
It's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's never too late. We can still look back and see where we are not measuring up to standard and what we are not doing and why we are not doing it, and ask God for the grace. Please, let's quickly go to Romans 3:25. You are there before me, you can read. Romans 3:25.
Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God.
Praise the Lord. What God is telling us this morning is that, you know, God presented Jesus as sacrifice for the atonement of our sin. You know, the blood of Jesus, you know, has become the bond for us to bind us together with God. You know, that is what the blood stands for. That is what the blood did for us, you know. That is, you know, so that then the blood will make us to be partaker of the inheritance that God has prepared for us, the new covenant, because the blood of Jesus had made the atonement for our sin. So that's why we are co-heirs in the kingdom of God. That's why we have the privilege to reign with him. That is why we are called his chosen people. That is why we are his children. That is why we have the boldness to call upon his name. That is what the blood has done for us. We can call upon him anytime, and he will answer us. It's not that when we don't even bother to pray in the morning, and when we go out and there's problem, we start praying. No, we have to, each time we go out, each time that we start each day with prayers, you know. Any day we start without prayer, I don't think it will work well. Because we can't just rush out, and then when we run in trouble, we just say, Lord, please have mercy. We have to set time aside to be in God's presence. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. It's a very popular one too, but I want us to open it.
His own body from the tree, that we, being dealt to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Said that we should be dead to sin. Say, be ye holy, even as our Father is holy. You say, oh, we are, nobody is perfect. Yeah, the Bible says that we should be holy, we should be dead to sin. We can do it. If we can't do it, God will not ask us to do it. We can do it. We can stop lying. We can stop bringing people down. We can stop bearing false witnesses. We can stop, even when you hear one side of story, you judge the person before you even see the person. You can stop that. We can stop bringing men and women of God down. We can stop by backbiting. We can stop documenting papers, increasing our tax, lying to earn more. We can stop. In our timesheet, what do? We've only worked for 9 hours. Then we see how we can do it to make it up to 12 hours. That is wisdom. No, we can be dead to sin. We can live a life that is patterned after Christ. It is possible. We can do it. What we need to do is just to position ourselves in the presence of God. That's why the Bible talk about, you know, I always say that the Bible talk about being in the attitude of prayer. We should be in the attitude of prayer. It's not that we should be in the church praying every time or kneeling down pray every time. We should be right with God at all times, so that we'll be able to raise up our hand at any time and say, Lord, instead of spending like 2-3 hours asking God for forgiveness, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I did this one. No, we should be in the attitude of prayer, be right with Christ at any time, so that when we lift up holy hand, you know, it's not that it will touch heaven. Praise the Lord. We've talked about healing, that, you know, it's a part of salvation, just like we have said that, you know. If we look at 1 Corinthians 11:30, I think we should quickly go there.
For this reason, many are weak and many sleep.
Praise the Lord. You know, when we don't do the right thing, when we don't partake, you know, in the right way, you know, just like if we know now that there are some things that we do to our body, physical body, that will bring something else to us. You know, all of us know that when we consume too much alcohol, that it's going to damage some part of our body. When we smoke, it's going to damage some part of our body. There are some food that we eat that will result to something else. We all know. So the same thing in the spiritual realm. So that is what the Bible is telling us this morning, that we should present ourselves holy and acceptable up to him all time, not during Holy Communion time, every time. So this morning, because of time, the pastor is looking at me, but I'll round up so that I can give time for questions, because I know this is a very important topic that some people may want to ask questions. He said, who can partake? Say, anyone who is born again. No, any child of God can partake of the Holy Communion, which we are going to partake this morning. Anybody who is a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, can partake. And anybody who is sick, some people who are sick that are not even coming to church, they can take it in the hospital, even on their sick bed. So the Holy Communion is for all of us as a child of God. Praise the Lord. Any question, contribution, addiction? Anybody who wants to say something? Then it means nobody understands what I've said. If you don't ask questions, I will ask. So what can we do before Holy Communion? Praise the Lord, my sister dear.
To examine ourselves and see the state where we are with God and our relationship with God and see whether we are worthy to partake it.
Praise the Lord. So who can partake? Who can partake of the Holy Communion? All believers. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. In Jesus' name. Almighty Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to come and learn at your feet this morning. Father God Almighty, even as we have learned about communion, O Lord, Father, even as we have come together this morning, we ask, O Lord, for the grace, O Lord, to have a personal encounter with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father God Almighty, even as we've heard your word this morning, that healing, O Lord, is our inheritance, O Lord. Father, I pray, O Lord, as many, O Lord, as are here this morning that are sick physically, emotionally, spiritually, O Father, any aspect of our body that we are sick this morning, O Lord, Father, we ask, O Lord, that you make physical manifestation of your healing power concerning each and every one of us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we also ask, O Lord, for the grace, O Lord. Empower us, O Lord. Enable us, O Lord, to set time aside, O Lord, to study and pray, O Lord. Father, because, O Lord, if we don't study and pray, O Lord, Father, how can we even know our inheritance? How can we know what is rightly ours, O Lord? Father, we just ask, O Lord, for the grace this morning, O Lord, that you deposit the grace in each and every one of us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Reveal yourself, O Lord, to each and every one of us are fresh, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for answering our prayers since we've prayed in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.